lost. Report Monday was about 5 days ago, so 6 days ago is kind of where we're at. We saw the Kelly Oubre injury happen, very sad for him. We saw AB Pack pick up Skylar Mays. That was a huge pickup. I love that pickup. That was fire. I ended up picking up Derek Drone, dropping Nick Richards. That was a solid pickup. I was really happy about that. Give myself a thumbs up. I also added Kenta Kitabachi up. I was happy about that at the time. I ended up dropping him. Wagner, center. Don't like that one. That one was pretty bad. Wagner's been, he's been playing some good basketball. He's looked really good. I mean, definitely he's a role player, but he's been looking good. That whole Magic team's been looking pretty solid. The jury ended up picking up Haywood Highsmith. He was about a day early on this one, which I got to give him credit for. That one's solid. That one's going to get a fire emoji. He ends up dropping Josh Green from Dallas. I had then put Dorian Finney-Smith, Moses Moody, Lonnie Walker all on the block. And then I ended up dropping Derek Jones Jr. and picking up Duncan Robinson. And then I ended up picking up Kevin Knox and dropping Bates Diop. I was pretty happy with those moves. Duncan Robinson has looked really good this week. I ended up dropping Guy Santos. I mean, he's nothing. Battle Cole, he ended up dropping Monte Morris, Detroit point guard. I mean, these are role players. And then we saw some trades completed. The first trade was Poppin' with Tebow and Battle Cole. Poppin' with Tebow received Bam Adebayo and Cade Cunningham, and he sent away Jimmy Butler, LeBron James, Brandon Ingram, a 2024 second and a 2024 third. Very steep price, but Bam has looked fantastic. He has looked just so good in his role there in Miami. He's really starting to take over that whole offense there in Miami, so I'm very excited for him. Cade Cunningham, again, second-year player. Looked really good in his rookie year before the injury. But going back, Butler's been off to a slow start, but of course you're going to capitalize on the name. LeBron, same fact. He still looks good for age 39. And then Brandon Ingram has looked good for 2 years now. Of course, the draft picks, those are always great. He was able to keep his second and his third, but he did end up selling his soul, it feels. Those are some big pieces to get big pieces. You got to get talent. Big front office energy was going around. Grayson Allen was dropped by Battle Cole. Give that one a thumbs up. Keon Ellis was picked up by Poppin' with Tebow. I really thought this was a good move at the time. He was coming off a really solid week since he's gone back to the bench. But I liked the move. I looked at him. I really wanted him. And then we saw another big front office energy move just what seemed like a few minutes later. So Poppin' with Tebow ended up receiving Ben Simmons before the injury news. So at the time, this looked really good. He'd given up Kyle Lowry and Andrew Nembhard and a 2025 first for him. That deal so far is not aging well because of the injury. But, you know, it's okay. Terrence Mann was picked up by Poppin' with Tebow. Again, another solid move. He's now in the starting lineup as of last night, Friday. This is being recorded on Saturday. So Chris Cross ended up picking up Nick Richards, dropping Mason Plumlee. It's a solid move. Give it a thumbs up. Then we saw Duke Reith, Portland center, picked up. Second-year player out of LSU. He's a little bit older. Has a bench role. He's playing behind Aiton. So, you know, he's getting looks. And then Alec Pochuvetsky was dropped in the corresponding move. Fourth-year rookie there in Oklahoma City. And then we saw Lord Sage. I had been going back with him quite a bit. And he had ended up decided to do a fire sale. He said, all right, y'all, fire sale time. I didn't get the draft. And honestly, I would not have made a lot of these picks. I'm going to put players in on the trade block, send me trades. I'm officially in tank mode looking for picks at young guys. He's 0-3, about to be 0-4. And this is about that time where we see guys or managers kind of start to say, well, I don't like my chances. I don't love my team. I didn't get to draft. We tried to get everyone at the draft. It was, like I said, at the very beginning, this league was kind of thrown together, but it is what it is. So he ended up putting Paul George, Fred VanVleet, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Onyeka Onwuzie, who I advise to keep because he's a young, good-looking center there, especially if any moves do happen there. James Harden, no-brainer. De'Anthony Melton, I advise to keep him. Darius Garland, I said, yo, you might want to keep Garland. Emmanuel Quickley, you could probably drop. And Davion Mitchell, another player who, again, could be dropped or kept in Sacramento. Bones Highland, who I told him to keep. Bones Highland, he also put on the block. Corey Kispert, I told him to keep Corey Kispert, Washington forward. Harrison Barnes, again, someone who I would just keep on my bench, but just maybe drop. And then Jaden McDaniels, Minnesota. I told him to pull off McDaniels. I would keep that dude. Very solid player. Kevin Love, put on the trading block. He's in the bench role. Jalen Smith, Indiana. Santi Aldama. This is one guy I'm actually low-key interested in. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about him a little bit later. Robert Williams, we talked about him last week with his season-ending injury. Kind of his timeline for coming back. Jet Howard, Orlando point guard. Let him know to keep him. Anthony Black, young point guard as well. Let him know to keep him. Papa Mutibo ended up adding Mortiz Bogdan. I ended up adding Ayo Dosunmu. And I also ended up adding Torian Prince. I've since dropped both Torian Prince and Dosunmu. I added Drew Smith for a cup of coffee. But that did not work out. I gave myself a laughing face there. Dosunmu. Again, I'm really keeping close tabs on Dosunmu, especially with the trade situation going on there in Chicago. I feel like he'll be the next man up. Derek Jones was claimed off waivers a couple days ago. He looked pretty solid. DC Comadre dropped Xavier Tillman, someone I actually had my eye on, and then I then put in a waiver claim and then got him. Very happy. Dosunmu, again, I added him again, dropped Drew Smith. We talked about Bradley Beal. Julian Champagne, point guard in San Antonio. A 1-2, kind of a combo guard forward wing, 6'9". Second year. Puts in a lot of two-way effort. Good defender. I really like to see what his role is. I need Popovich to give the ball back to Trey Jones at the point and get off of Sohan. That's just it's not the move. I ended up dropping Dosunmu. And then I had an injury, which allowed me to pick up Dario Saric. He's been starting in the place of Draymond Green since he's been out. Pooch ended up picking up Robert Covington. Solid move. He dropped Caleb Martin, which I was confused about. I mean, it makes sense because he just came back from injury. Xavier Tillman, I ended up picking up. I dropped Kevin Knox. I ended up picking up Grayson Allen because I had Tillman go back on the bench or back on the IR with me. Covington was dropped this morning. Give that one some big eyes. And then Papa Mutibo ended up picking up Malik Beasley, which is a very solid move. Really like that. So overall, that's our league recap. We had a couple trade, a lot of guys on the trade block. So a lot of things are moving around in the league. I'm very excited to kind of see how this all plays out, because it's definitely going to play out very, very interestingly. So let's jump over to NBA news and NBA injuries and kind of their projection for what that looked like going into this next week and if any of them may linger. Guard Anthony Edwards and Sixers center Joel Embiid, they were NBA Players of the Week last week. The Nuggets extended Mike Malone for 2 more years on his current deal. So he's going to be there through the 2025 or 26-27 season, which is great for the team. And then on Friday, the Clippers guard Russell Westbrook, he asked to be moved to the second unit. Very solid vet move for a guy who's definitely one of the lowest paid players on the Clippers now, which is very surprising. He asked to be moved to the second unit so that Harden could get repped with the first. Terrence Mann was moved into the starting role in front of them just to help get less ball dominant guys. We've seen Ty Lue really struggle. They finally broke a 6-game losing streak since picking up James Harden in that trade, but it's hard when you have 4 ball dominant players on the court at the same time. Paul George's looked great. Harden trying to get going. Ty Lue saying, get going. And it's a mess. It's not well-oiled. And now you add Daniel Theis to the rotation as well, off the street. He played last night, just hours after being claimed and signed and picked up. So, yeah, that's some of the news. NBA injuries. De'Aaron Fox is back. He returned to play on Monday. Rockets guard Victor Oladipo, he's still working out at the facility in Germany as he recovers from his patellar tendon injury in his left knee. Victor Oladipo, one guy that if he hasn't never gotten hurt, man, his career would be on another level. Pistons got some good news. Alec Burks returned from injury last Sunday. And then Jaden Ives was also back after missing 4 games. This was on Monday. Lakers forward Jared Vanderbilt was cleared by team doctors to begin return to play progression. So that's great. He has yet to make his season debut. He's missed every game so far. Magic's guard Gary Harris and Markelle Fultz, they were sidelined on Tuesday, but they have been traveling with the team. So they're expected back during the current road trip. I believe they both have returned. And then Lonnie Walker was questionable, but he has played, so he's good. Ben Simmons has been missing time, so Lonnie Walker has been getting some extended time in the backcourt. Tuesday, Ben Simmons, he's going to be out at least a week, possibly more due to a nerve issue in his lower back. Steph is out with a knee injury. Booker, he was on track to play. It was said that KD, Beal, Book would take the court together for the first time on Wednesday. Didn't happen. Beal's out 3 more weeks. Bucks, Jay Crowder, he's out 8 weeks after undergoing surgery. And then Brandon Miller, he's good to go. He was out Tuesday, but he returned on Friday to the game. Bradley Beal, he's out 3 weeks. Draymond got a 5-game suspension for headlocking Rudy Gobert in their scuffle. Kerr said it was deserved. He deserved it. Hornets forward Miles Bridges, he's set to return to the court. He returned to the court last night, actually, Friday night, against the Bucks for the NBA in-season tournament game after missing all of last season and finishing off a 10-game suspension to start his year in his role in the DV case. Bulls DeMar DeRozan, he missed Thursday's game for personal reason, and the staff isn't sure if he's going to miss additional games. Kelly Oubre, update on him. He has some cracked ribs. He's going to be out. He's out indefinitely. They don't have a timetable for his return. The police and the investigators said they can't find any video evidence of the hit and run, but the team and organization is standing behind him. Warriors guard GP2 is being further evaluated for an ankle injury. And then Grizzly guard Derrick Rose, last I read, he's expected back soon. So all these have fantasy implication. Grizzly definitely will be getting some firepower back here in the next few weeks between D. Rose, John Morant. For the Warriors, that just means more opportunity for guys like Podziemski and Moses Moody to get some chance in the rotation. With Draymond out, Kuminga's been getting some chance in the rotation. So it's been really great to see some of these guys, young guys there in Golden State, despite the circumstances, get some extended run. I believe that Dario Saric also replaced Kevin Looney in the starting rotation as well. So that's been another interesting development. So they're trying to figure things out there. Again, it's trying to mesh in Chris Paul and all these pieces. Wiggins struggled. So guys have just struggled in Golden State out the gate outside of Steph. Steph's or Clay shooting career low. So a lot of Clippers talk today. We're going to jump over to the stats and disappointment. And we're also going to talk some usage. I want to talk some usage as well as part of this. So we're going to transition over to that right now. So going back into this here, the Clippers have been wildly disappointing and underwhelming since Harden came aboard. Harden said he needs about 10 games. Lou told Harden that he has free reign to play his usual style. That has not translated well to the first 6 games. He ended up... Hold that thought. He ended up looking really good Saturday. He scored 21, nearly triple-doubled in his time on the court. Ty Lue said he was being too polite and that he's just trying to fit in. He's not trying to step on toes. He's trying to make this work. Wants to be here kind of thing. Hasn't shot well, but Saturday looks like they're finally to put some things together. He nearly triple-doubled again. I believe he went like 21, had the game winner, 8 assists, 7 boards, something like that. So he was close to a triple-double, which is very James Harden. He just, to me, watching him, I watch a lot of James Harden on that court, and he just looks slow. He looks like he's just lost in that offense. When Russ is on the court, Russ is the floor general. Like, Russ has a different style of communication with that team where he points and he tells guys, go to the lane. He was literally telling guys to cut. I think he told Man to cut to the lane. Or he was moving Thais around, or he was directing traffic. He was telling guys where to go in that second unit. Like, he knew where the lanes were. He just has another level of court vision that not a lot of guards in the NBA have, especially on this team. For the Clippers to be the most successful, they have to find a way to have Zubac centered, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, and Westbrook all on the floor at the same time, because no one can push the ball quite like Russell Westbrook, even in his 30s now. No one pushes the ball like Russell Westbrook. No one can create better open shots like Westbrook, because he collapses the defense in, and then he kicks it out so smooth, just so smooth. He gets bored. He gets you stopped. He pushes the ball. He gets up quickly. He attacks early. And Ty Lue knows that, like, his guys, like, they don't hustle back a lot. Like, Paul George does. Zubac does. Kawhi Leonard doesn't always. James Harden definitely doesn't. So it's like, you got to have Russell Westbrook on the floor if you want to keep a good pace. The NBA is about pace now. Pushing the ball, pushing tempo, moving quick, moving fast, moving. And they're just not doing it. And I don't know how to... The way to fix it is to try to get all of them on the court at the same time. And you have to be able to do that. Got to figure it out. My bad. It's a problem. It's a major disappointment for Clippers fans, for the organization. But, I mean, I think last night showed that they're figuring it out. They're trying to figure out what the minutes look like, where everyone's going to roll. I really think that it would be best for... I don't like Russ coming off the second unit. I really don't like Russ coming off the second unit. They need him on the floor to start the game. It gets him out to... It sets a pace. It gets him quickly. Gets him moving. Gets everything going in the right direction. And they're just not... They're just not doing it. And... They need him on that first unit, and they really, really need to move Harden to that second unit. Because if Harden's on that second unit, he can do whatever he wants. He can score, get points, he can do his thing. He does it all. He's the spotlight of the second unit. I mean, if you have 4 stars, you can always keep 2 of them on the floor with him. But he needs to come off in that second unit. Because they need Russ. They need Russ. So it's been a strange and really disappointing start to his tenure in LA. But again, it's James Harden we're talking about. He'll probably bail on this team by the trade deadline. So I'm just saying, don't at me for that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about usage as our kind of our sticky stat of the day. Because usage is, it's a realized NBA stat. It shows kind of where teams are valuing guys, who they're looking for, who is around them, and who their guys are, and who they're pushing, who they're trying to get more reps to, more points, trying to get score in different ways. So, I found this article. It was on NBA.com. It's by John Schumann. And I really, really liked what I saw here in terms of dynasty kind of usage. Because this shows a lot. It shows a year-over-year progression for some of these guys. Some of these guys move situations. Some of these guys have opportunity in front of them that they're capitalizing on, that they're using, which could have long-term impacts for them. So we're going to transition over there. So the 10th guy with the 10th highest usage rating increase is Isaiah Hartenstein, center, New York. He's been grabbing boards. He's been getting his. He's been looking really good in that Knicks offense. That Knicks offense has not looked amazing. It's been a struggle, to say the least. But his usage is up 4.4%. Also, his true shooting percentage is also up 5.4%. So he's just been more efficient. He's looked really good. Then you got a guy like Max Christie. Max Christie is... I can't even remember. I put him on my watch list. Max Christie. I guess in terms of dynasty, Isaiah Hartenstein is available in our league. He's someone I'm definitely watching because the uses is there. The uses, it's definitely there. He's getting boards. Right now in fantasy, he's averaging about 11.1 points. He's playing about 18 minutes a night, 7 points, 4 boards, 1.5 assists, 1 steal, almost 2 steals and 2 blocks, and 1.5 turnovers. So he's getting it there. He's getting double-digit points. He's backing up Mitchell Robinson. Assuming nothing happens to Mitchell Robinson, this is probably where his role stays. But it is really nice to see that there is something coming from it. He's actually rostered, according to Sleeper, in 0% of leagues. He started in 0% of leagues. So if you're like me and you really like stats and you're in a dynasty, it's definitely someone to look at. Next is Max Christie, second-year guard out of Michigan for the Lakers. He's, again, another guy who's rostered in 0% of leagues, 0% start. He's just buried on that depth chart. Of course, in front of him, he has Jared Vanderbilt, Gabe Vincent. Some of these guys who have some more capital invested in them. He looked really good in the summer league. Christie did. It's disappointing. Hasn't translated yet, but talent's there. When he gets the playing time, when he gets the minute, he can ball. We saw against Houston a couple weeks ago. We saw it early in the season when he got opportunities. He's efficient. So when he's given an opportunity. But I worry about Christie, even though his usage is up 4.5%. His true shooting percentage is down 18.1%. So he's less efficient. Talent just hasn't quite translated yet. Then you have a guy like Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant, he's not available in our league. He's actually taken 10th year guy. He's definitely rostered, so I don't think it's showing me the roster percentage, but he's looked really great this season. He's averaging about 20 fantasy points a night, 37 minutes, 22 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, 1.5 steals, 1.5 blocks, 2.5 turnovers. So, of course, the turnovers hurt you a lot. He's had one boom game against Sacramento. That was back on the 8th, and since then, he's been averaging probably about 18 to 20 fantasy points a night, as he was before. So he's looked decent. He's looked really good. Jeremy Grant, definitely a guy you want to keep your eye on. His usage is up 4.6%. Granted, it's in Portland. So take that with a grain of salt, because as the year goes on, I'm sure a veteran guy like this with Portland rebuilding and with their injuries, Anfernee Simmons, Scoot Henderson, Malcolm Brogdon, Grant's, of course, going to get a little bit more. He's going to get his, and I don't think it's going to last once guys like Simmons and Henderson and Brogdon all come back into the lineup, into the rotation. Our next guy here is Christian Braun. Christian Braun last year, his usage percentage was at 12.7%. It's up this year to 17.3, a 4.6% increase. His true shooting is down about 4.6%. So he's slightly less efficient, which happens. He's owned in our league by Di Camadre. He's this guard. He's getting playing time. Right now on the fantasy season, he's had one boom game in the last seven at 26 points. That was actually yesterday, the 17th, against the Pelicans. Overall, he's averaging about 13 fantasy points, playing about 20 minutes a night, averaging close to 10 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, a steal, and a block, and a turnover. It's hard to say what the Nuggets rotation is going to look like. He's definitely behind Murray here. But again, there's minutes available in that rotation for the right players. Malone's a great coach. So he plays in the right kind of system that you want him to be a part of. So he's been playing a really key role in the second unit there in Denver. Expect him to continue that. Lonnie Walker, I actually own him in our Dynasty League. I got him in a trade. It was a 2-for-1 trade a couple weeks ago. His usage is up 4.9%, and his true shooting is also up 6.7%. He's the only other player outside of Hartenson whose true shooting is also increased with the usage. That's a good correlation. 27.3% usage this year, 5% increase, 10.1% decrease in true shooting, though, so he's less efficient. But again, they're trying to build his value to eventually trade him. Caris LeVert, I also own him in our Dynasty League, and I've been very pleased with him. Again, another guy I traded for early in the season. 23.6% usage, 5.3% usage increase, and he's only shooting, his true shooting is down 1%. So, very efficient. Of course, you got Nikola Jokic, which how his usage went even more up is crazy, but it did. It went up from 26.3 to 32.3, so a 6% increase. 4.7% true shooting decrease, but I'm sure with his usage, he's efficient. He's an efficient shooter. And then you got Jonathan Kuminga, who is also on my team in the Dynasty League. I took him probably in the middle round, somewhere between like 6 and 10. Very happy with his performance thus far in the season. His usage is up 6.7%. His true shooting is down, but Kerr has this dude's back, basically telling him to shoot the ball, get aggressive, stay aggressive, and get after it. Get after it on the court. Just go attack. Don't be afraid. And in his start, his lone start so far, when Draymond was out, he put up 21 points, and he looked really efficient. He looked really good. And then the number one guy's increase on this list, actually tied for first, Santi Aldama, 6.7% usage increase, true shooting down 3.3%. But, of course, with John Morant and Steve Adams out for the season, Tyus Jones and Dylan Brooks are gone. Marcus Smart is also now injured. Aldama is kind of the last man standing and is really going to continue to benefit and looks really good. I've been trying to trade for him. I really want to get that piece because I think that's a long-term just asset. So that's definitely someone I want, that I need in my life. And so someone just definitely to keep your eyes on. If you can go and get him in your Dynasty League, definitely go and try to get him. But that's the usage talk here. Some of the biggest drops in usage, Christian Wood, Lakers, down 10%. Cameron Payne, I believe Payne is a member of... Oh, gosh. Payne. He's in Milwaukee. He's playing a bench role in Milwaukee. Definitely someone that you could keep your eye on if he gets it together or if there's an injury to Lillard or in front of him. But he's still going to continue to come off the bench in that second unit. Peyton Pritchard, Boston. He was just mentioned in the Drake song. So 7.1% downward trend. Malik Beasley, minus 6.8%. He was actually just picked up in our Dynasty League this morning. He looked really good. Dane's really starting to click over there. Starting to play at an MVP level. Keldon Johnson, San Antonio, again, was Wemby. That's expected. Of course, you know, Cameron Payne, Malik Beasley, they're going to take on some smaller roles in Milwaukee. Drew Holiday, he's also seen the drop since leaving Milwaukee. Of course, you have Dame come in. He's going to take a lot. He's going to take more than what Holiday was getting. DeAndre Ayton, this one's very interesting. Him going down to 6.6%. Now 16.5% usage. Even with all the injuries, he even before, even sharing the floor with Booker and KD, he was up there. He was getting 23.1% usage, and now he's just dipped hard. Keldon Johnson, another guy here, 27.3, a great scorer, a really good two-way player. Again, drop Wemby comes in, you're going to lose. It's going to take a hit on someone. Looks like it's hitting Keldon Johnson. Sohan running the point. It's going to happen. Drew Holiday, he's also down 6.6%. James Harden down 6.5%. Of course, he's sharing the court with more ball-dominant players now. Kawhi, Paul George, Russell Westbrook. And of course, yes, that's going to go down. Norman Powell, they're in New Orleans, down 6.4%. That's going to happen, but he's been more efficient. And of course, Terrence Mann, with all the guys coming in, with Harden coming in, Russell Westbrook trying to play in front of them. Very interesting. Some other guys who've seen big drops in usage that I hadn't mentioned. Kelly Oubre Jr., but of course he's hurt now. He was minus 6%. Kristaps Porzingis is actually kind of the outlier here. Like, yes, his usage is down, but he wanted to be down, and his true shooting percentage is way up. Gabe Vincent down, Kenta Bates-Diop down, Dylan Brooks down, but his true shooting is better. Yusuf Nurkic down, but of course, when you're trying to share the court with three incredibly ball-dominant, talented players, that's going to happen. I think in the injuries, I forgot to mention that Marcus Smart's going to be out for 3 to 5 weeks, so that's kind of what usage looks like. So you may want to target some of these guys if their usage continues in the right trend, as they're going to have the opportunity, they're going to be the one scoring, putting up the point. There's also the flip side of it. So it's very interesting. So definitely take that for what you will. I think usage is very telling of where players are at, where they're going. So our free agents this week, let's talk our free agents and our trade targets, because I have quite a few ones that I'm really liking. So we're going to start with our free agent targets of the week. Coming up, Gilliard, Memphis guard, very interested in him. I believe he's available. Let's see. I'm going to check my phone because this will give me a more accurate kind of reading on kind of where he's at and if he's available possibly in your league. And if you're listening in my league, then I'm 90% sure he is available. Yep, Jacob Gilliard, he is available. He's only rostered in 3% of leagues, so definitely deeper. He actually started at the point last night with Marcus Smart now out 3 to 5 weeks, and John Morant still facing that suspension. Dude might be only be 5'9". He has the heart of a 6'8 champion. Someone to keep your eye on. Nick Batum, let's see. I think Batum is rostered in our league. Oh, no, he's not. Batum is day-to-day right now, but he's only rostered in about 11% of leagues. He started in 5% of those. This long-time vet, when he's healthy, he can still play. He's still out. He's been a personal reason, but someone to kind of keep your eye on. I believe he's been starting there in Philly alongside those guys. Kita Bates-Diop, he is available. He's only rostered in about 10% of leagues. He's available. In our league as well. Drummond, I'm 90% sure he's also available. Drummond is available. He's rostered in 32% of the league, so definitely go and check. But this is still a guy who can get it done on both ends of the court. He can still get double-doubles on a nightly basis in 15 to 20 minutes. So if he gets the opportunity in Chicago, which, with guys moving out possibly in that rotation, Caruso, LaVine, DeRozan, it could open up more playing time just because they have a need. Skylar Mays, we talked earlier about him. He's not available. Grayson Allen, he's not available. But for the purpose of continuity here, Skylar Mays, he is only rostered in about 6% of sleeper leagues. So definitely someone to go and check if he's available. I would 1,000% pick him up. Grayson Allen, again, he's been starting in that first unit with no Beal. So as long as Beal's out, he still continues to have some value. He's shooting 47% from the floor, 49% from behind the arc. So he's been very efficient, looked very good with the opportunity given to him. He's been shouldering the load of the point guard there too. Duncan Robinson, he is not available in our league. I picked him up, scooped him up real quick. He's rostered in 19% of the league. He could be one of those guys that just comes in and just rocks your team coming in. He's looked way better going off the dribble. He's not just a shooter anymore. Alec Burks, he's not available in our league, but he's only rostered in 25% of the league. So he's available, widely available. Derek Jones, again, not available in our league, but could be available in yours if we have any fans listening, which I'm sure we do. Derek Jones, there we go. He's only rostered in 5% of leagues, so of course it's a sleeper, so he may look different, but he's available, he's out there. Keon Ellis, again, we talked about him. Goga Bitadze, another guy who's just looked great, getting the opportunity. He's only rostered in 9% of leagues. And then Haywood Highsmith, lastly. He got picked up real quick. He's only rostered in 6% of leagues. So another guy, he's top 32 at his position. So he's a three. He's a small forward three. So guys you can definitely look at. All these guys are available. They're all like third or fourth options at the position. So definitely there's value. There's value to be had. Our trade targets of the week. I'm really looking at Gordon Hayward. When I watch Gordon Hayward play, he looks like Jazz Gordon Hayward, where he's smooth, he's aggressive, he's not overly aggressive, he's smart with his body. He does get banged up because he does play aggressive, but when he's on, he's on. Like against Washington last week, 27, 5 boards, 4 steals, 1 block, 9 assists, 38 fantasy points. Like, when he's on, he's on. I think having Miles Bridges come back into this rotation isn't going to hurt him, only help him. Cam Reddish, another guy, Lakers. Reddish, someone you may be able to get, but he's finally getting some opportunity in LA. He's in his fifth year now. In 32 minutes on Wednesday, 16 points, 2 boards, 5 steals. He's getting after it. He's averaging 15.3 boards, almost 3 steals, 1 assist in 30 minutes, averaging about 30 minutes since he's been inserted into the starting lineup. In that, he's shooting 52% on the floor, 52% from the 3-point line. So definitely someone you may want to consider with the increase in opportunity, because the Lakers, again, another team that are really trying to figure it out. Figure out their rotation. Who can we use? What, moving Austin Reeves back to his 6-man role. He's way better off the bench, and he is starting. Dylan Brooks, we mentioned him again. Yes, I know there's some stigma with him, but thinking about fantasy, you have a great player here. He's starting to cool off a little bit. He's still playing 35 minutes a night. He still looks good. He's passing the ball a lot. He's not taking a shot. He's not calling the ball. He's not pounding for the ball. Over his last 4 games, he's averaged just about 8 points, 4 rebounds, 1.5 assists in 25 minutes. He's a defensive-minded wing, so he's defense first. But when he's on, he's on. So you're definitely someone you can trade for a little bit lower now that he's cooled off. There may be some roster fatigue with him. Like, oh, man, he was so good. Now he sucks. Miles Bridges, another guy who I did look at. I did try to make a deal for. No, that's Michael. Michael Bridges, too, another guy you want to try to trade for. But Miles Bridges, coming straight off. 17 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 turnovers, 2 threes made. Solid fantasy night. Just crazy straight off the back. Right off of the suspension. Got that much usage, that much play time, 33 minutes. He's going to be a big part of that rotation there in Charlotte, and we saw how that affected LaMelo. LaMelo went off for 37 last night, I believe, if I'm correct. I have LaMelo. Yeah, he put up 37 last night in that game. And granted, only translated to 25 fantasy points because he had 6 turnovers. Those hurt. But without those 6 turnovers, man, he would have had a game. But he's looked really good. LaMelo just has another option to pass the ball to. Opens up more space for him to do his thing. LaMelo's a great player. I mean, 28-6-3. So he just has more double-double capability now. 28-6-3, that was from his game against Miami. So Bridges has helps him, helps that team. Kevin Huerter, another guy who you may have been able to grab off your waivers because he was available. I believe he got picked up. Or he was drafted, actually. Yeah, he was drafted in our league. But he's looked just phenomenal. He's looked really good. He's averaging about 17 fantasy points a night. He's getting about 30 minutes of playing time a night. So another guy you definitely want to target there. And then lastly, Shaedon Sharpe. If you're able to get him, might be really hard. Just another high-end guy who you may want to look at. Second-year player, looks really good in Portland. He's getting the usage, getting the playing time, 38 minutes a night. Putting up almost 20 points, 6 boards, 4 assists almost, a steal, 20 fantasy points a night. This looks so, so good when he's on. And those are just some guys that I definitely would be targeting in trades if you have the capital to do so, especially in Dynasty. I like the long output for Reddish, Brooks, Bridges, Huerter, Sharpe. These guys all have long-term value. If it's a struggling team, this is kind of where you really want to play some of that strategy that we're going to talk about soon. But if these guys are on a bottom feeder team, you probably won't get them. If they're on a more competitive team where they could use vets over young guys, then you may want to play that game a little bit. All right, we're going to transition into some real-life NBA trade, free agent, and extension rumors, and what that fallout may look like for your dynasty team. All right, so this week we saw the trade rumors start to fly. On the 14th, both sides, LaVine and the Bulls, agreed they're open to a trade, they're open to moving him. He actually came out and said his preferred destinations. Let me try to go find that real quick, because he did say it. Where was it? He said like 4 or 5 teams. I want to say it included. Oh, man. Where is it? Okay. So the most preferred destination for him, Lakers, the Heat, the Sixers. I wanted to say there was a couple more that he was also eyeing himself, because I believe he does have a no trade, so he can pick and choose. He also has his eyes on the San Antonio Spurs, which, of course, when Wembanyama's there, you're going to be more attractive. And he also has his eyes on the Kings, which I really hate that for the Kings, because there is so much talent there, and I don't think that would help them necessarily. Also have to keep your eyes on the Knicks, the Mavericks, and the Knicks, the Maverick, the Bucks, and Knicks, Maverick, Bucks. There was one more team that I was kind of a fan on that I don't think he said he was going to. I can't remember it now. Oh, the Raptors. The Raptors are a dark horse there. I think he said he would be no. So I really don't see him going there. But the Raptors, that would be a scary team. Siakam, Anunoby, LaVine. Like, they would just be so good. But I really like the fits here. So let's look at the Lakers. The Lakers likely would have to give up some picks. They'd probably have to dig into some of that bench. I believe they would try to probably get LaVine and Caruso to make this deal work. They would want to. I would assume probably, I don't know. This is hard to say who they would give up. They probably, obviously, LeBron, AD. Not out there, not available. Trying to look here. Probably D'Angelo Russell may go back in the deal just because of the salary at 17 mil. Rui Hachimura may be also a piece in that deal. because of the salary. Austin Reeves, I can definitely see being a piece of that deal. Caruso's in there. Gabe Vincent, probably another guy at $10 million you'd want to trade as part of that deal just to make the salary work. But I don't think the Lakers are too concerned about salary, in all honesty. So those are just some of the pieces I would imagine probably go along with draft picks to make a deal work for Levine and Caruso. And or Caruso, I guess. Let's see. The Heat. The Heat, obviously, would probably try to trade Tyler Hero as kind of the centerpiece of this deal to make the deal work. I could see them also maybe moving. I really like Kyle Lowry at point, but I think I would like Levine and Butler together in the backcourt even more. They're not going to move Bam. They're not going to move Butler. I could see them moving Hero at $27 million. I could see them trying to move Lowry at $29 million. I could also see them keeping Duncan at $18 million or putting him in the deal. Caleb Martin at $6 million is another candidate because you got to make the salary work somehow. Definitely Tyler Hero is up there at $27 million. I didn't even know he was a $27 million type of player. Not seem like it, but he is very talented. So that's kind of who I would expect to go back in that kind of trade. And the Sixers. The Sixers have so many expiring contracts. They have so many expiring contracts that they can just shift these vets around again. And then they'll probably get bought out, which is sad, but it's probably what they would do for Levine. Because if you put Levine, Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, I think it would really hurt Maxey. But you could obviously move the contracts of Marcus Morris. You can move DeAnthony Covington. You could try to move Tobias as part of that deal. Nicholas Batum. Just some guys who would probably end up going back along with draft picks. So just keep that in mind. I can also see the Spurs. The Spurs have a really young, talented roster who could easily make a deal here with the Bulls if the Bulls focus is rebuilding. Bulls are allegedly talking on moving on from Caruso, Levine, DeRozan. I would really like to see them try to get offload Vucevic. I think the Warriors would be a great fit there. But enough about the Bulls. John Wall, he's eyeing an NBA opportunity. NBA, like, front office people, owners believe that the Warriors and Klay will come to an extension agreement, but his opening to the season over these first few games has been a career worst. The Dubs and the Knicks could potentially be eyeing Karl-Anthony Towns if a downturn in performance happens or if Timberwolves are just out. I would not hate that for the Dubs. This has kind of been a rumor for a few years, I believe. The Blazers could sell guys like Malcolm Brogdon, Jeremy Grant. Grant was just signed to a 5-year, $160 million extension, so it might be a little bit harder to move him at 29. Toronto's OG Anunoby, he is frustrated with his role, so the Sixers are interested if that is the case. I don't know if Toronto would actually trade him, but Toronto also has Pascal Siakam on an expiring contract. They have not had any extension talks, nor have they been able to reach an extension. So again, another guy who could very easily be a sign and trade kind of guy for a deal with the Bulls for Levine or DeRozan or Caruso or a combination, so he can get paid. Definitely is a big time player, big time guy there. But that's everything. I made it through it. So if you have any questions, go ahead and send them in. You can DM me on Instagram. The Instagram handle, the IG handle is, let me see here, because you can also find me on Twitter. So for Instagram, if you want to DM me, follow, check everything, you can follow me at the THE Ballboy blog, the Ballboy blog. You can find me on my website, ballboyblog.com. You can also find me on Twitter, Ballboy J. Again, that's Ballboy J, J-E-Y. And yeah, so find me there. Hit me up. Send me your questions. Drop me your mailbag. You can find us on Facebook as well. Ballboy Blog on Facebook. Or is it Ballboy Talk? It's Ballboy Blog on Facebook. So pretty easy to find me, to find more about the league there, more baseball, basketball, football content, sports content for all you lovers and gluttons for more like me when it comes to sport. I hope you enjoyed this week as we talk some fantasy basketball dynasty here in our Blue Ballers League. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Week 4 is about to wrap up. We are really close to wrapping up week 4. Looking at it right now, I think I'm positioned to win my week. Really think I'm going to. Hopeful. Very hopeful. So we'll see how it works out. If you have any questions about kind of how our league looks, we have standard scoring. We have strategy. Real quick. So last week we talked a couple strategy things. Target, if you're a winning team and you're on the move, target those bottom feeder teams because they're going to want to sell some of their vet pieces for young guys. So I have Brandon Miller, who I'm likely going to try to flip and trade for like a Paul George or an Anthony Davis or someone like that. Someone who still has some years left who can help my team now more so than a Brandon Miller can. Obviously, I'm competing, so I'm not going to try to trade away any of my big pieces like a Chet Holmgren or anyone. Papa Lord Sage, he's 0-3. So it's definitely interesting to look at kind of where everyone's at, see who you can get from these guys, and try to make some deals. Has been a little bit hard because the guys in our league, they are some great managers. I will give them that. They know their worth. They know the value of their teams. They know kind of where they're at. And so, like, even with the Jury, you know, he may be 0-3, so I try to shoot him a trade of Towns, Halliburton, and Scoot. Try to throw in some draft capital, LeVert, Brogdon, Monk, guys who have been playing well. Definitely isn't dumb. Saw the low ball offer and didn't want to pull the trigger on that one. Chris Cross, he's competing, but, you know, trying to get Miles Bridges. He sees the same things that I see in Bridges. He's hoping that kind of helps his team a little bit. I 100% understand that. He really liked Jordan Hawkins. I was trying to get Jordan Hawkins from him. So it's been, you know, these guys see the same thing. I mean, we're all NBA fans. We're all NBA junkies. Mitch Mann as well. I was trying to make a deal for, you know, Bruce Brown, Trey Young, Scottie Barnes by giving up Siakam, Brogdon, Monk, Walker, a third and a second. Still couldn't get the deal done. But he couldn't pull it. Consistent guys, big numbers. He hasn't been impressed with Brogdon or Siakam. He's still interested in Tyrese Maxey, though. Obviously, I'm not going to give up Tyrese Maxey because that's kind of where my deal is. I'm trying to get Justin Barnes, but he's not there. So a lot of back and forth, but again, managers in our league, very smart. Same with Pooch. I was trying to make a trade for Bayimbo, Vooch, Jalen Johnson, and Sharp, Finney Smith, Walker, Moody, Kuminga, a third and a third. You know, he definitely saw it for what it is. Two younger players. I'm trying to get Vooch and Johnson. He wants Banchero. I don't know if I can get Banchero. I told him if we can get Sharp involved. He's like, I'm losing contributors. So again, just very great, great manager talk here. Definitely some good back and forth, opening up these trade dialogues. I got a rejected trade. I'm trying to get Jeremy Grant from Malik Monk and Lonnie Walker. 100% understand that. You know, asking for other trades here with Camadre, Papa with Tebow, great conversation, trying to go back and forth. Lord Sage, going back and forth with him on some guys, trying to see what we can do and work out. So yeah, it's a lot of fun in this league. Definitely some strategy talk there. If you know you're going to probably need to build for the next couple years to get competitive again, sell those pieces. Sell your vets. Get those young guys back in return. Target, if you're a bottom team and you want to just bottom out your team, try to get your draft pick as high as you can to get a top-end rookie. Of course, go and target those winning teams. Target popping with Tebow, Mitchman, Pavlola, Puzini, myself, Giddy's Bandits, Two Infinity Went Beyond, All Balls No Bite. We're all 2-1. And be like, hey, look, I have this guy. He's a vet. I want a young guy and a pick. He's more valuable. Offer some 2-for-1s, 2 vets for 1 rookie and a pick. Or first, second, third year kind of guy who you believe in, and go after him and go get him. So that's kind of my strategy of the day. Build for now. If you're competing, go for it. Just go for it. Don't hold back. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Just go for it. Go hard or go home. Kind of thing, I guess. So I hope that helps anyone kind of looking at their dynasty squad and be like, man, I'm 0-3. Mel, maybe it's time to evaluate. Can you sell? Can you get competitive? Who's on your team? Who can you sell? What can you get? Can you maybe make it back to 500? Maybe make it into that top 6 to make the playoffs with some right moves, some waivers. The waivers in our league are super competitive. But can you make some trades and get some guys, do some research, listen to this podcast, and maybe find some targets of the week and make some moves? So that's kind of where we're at here. Join us next week for our special Thanksgiving episode. May come out a little bit earlier in the week just so that we can all enjoy the holidays, enjoy some holiday basketball, some holiday football, and just have a really good time. So we'll look forward to talking to you again soon. We hope you all have a nice week, a wonderful weekend. And again, thank you for joining your 12 favorite bandits who have no clue what they're doing in fantasy basketball, Dynasty. We're all just here for a good time and a long time. We hope you stay well, and we will talk to you next week.